Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven rain. Ring with the harmony, oh, let it be. Let our rejoicing rise high. Laugh and rejoice, yeah. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who has brought us this far.
world. Some of y'all don't know what the Funky Broadway is, do you? I know. Funky Broadway. Yeah, y'all don't know nothing about that. Y'all too busy doing other stuff. I tell you. Okay, good. I really came through the storm this morning. Listen, coming through the storm. I came through the storm to be with y'all. But it was all right with me. Because that's God doing his work. When I was growing up, when there was lightning and thunder and raining like cats and dogs, like it was doing out there when I came in this morning, my grandmother, even my mother, would say, sit down. We had to cover the mirrors. See, and now I got older, too, how smart those old people were. Because a mirror draw lightning, just like these kids on their cell phone sleeping with them in the bed and stuff, laying their head on them. It draws lightning. It's just a matter of time. And so we had to cover the mirrors, and we had to sit down while God was doing his work. And some of y'all remember that. I know some of y'all remember. Shut up. God's doing his work. You pray and just be quiet till God gets through doing his work. One no talking. These folks don't stop when God, they just keep on moving. If you don't have to move, sit still. It's time to let God do his work. So let God have to do his work, y'all. We have to have lightning. We have to have thunder. With the rain, snow, wind, all of those things. And when you see all that stuff, that's when you know how great thou art. How great he, how in the world nobody can believe in God and see all that. Y'all can follow these demons if y'all want to. I feel sorry for y'all. And I'm going to do, I saw something, and I didn't pull it. I was reading about this new telescope they have, and they went way up in the universe. And they went so far out, and they got a little nervous because they know then it was a God. I started laughing. If anybody living today, and there's anybody that don't understand that there's a God, you better get away from them. Don't be next to them and lightning strike the tree. It might fall on you. Because there is a God. And there is. And I was just thinking that when I was driving in. Look, a lot of stuff has been going on. I got so much to tell y'all, but if y'all, I was up this morning looking at the news on my way in, when I'm getting ready to come in. But I'd already looked through all the papers. Have y'all noticed that all they're talking about now is redlining and zombie properties and vacant buildings and vacant lots? If y'all haven't, you better pay attention, especially black people, because you already see they deal with our emotions. They've already taken all of our land and our homes and stuff. And we didn't realize it because we started running. Yes, when they have a lot of fighting, like in South Shore, when they were shooting up there so much, all them beautiful buildings by the lake, people start running, and all the other folks from other countries, and they're not all, a lot of them from the European countries, they start taking over your properties. I read something on the Project. He owns so many properties in the city and in the country. And they were suing him because of how he do his properties. And it was interesting how they tell him, move. You know, if you don't like it, then you move. How nasty they was. And the girl was saying she spoke to the 311. And they told her to move, to leave if you don't like it. I think that I was really, her name is Miss Jones. And I just thought that was really, and I didn't have time to research to see, do Project have, did he get tax credit? I know he was doing this not only do you have tax credit, how much government money is he getting? They go in and they get the government money. And then they misuse our people. Ms. Jones said that they told her when she kept complaining, what do you expect? I mean, my God, come on. They said it's one of the largest landlords with 423 rental properties that include 75 units on the south and west side, 7,500 units on the south and west side. Now, that's something. And the property owners also have more than 13,000 residence units in Illinois, Indiana, and Maryland. They use hundreds of shell companies to purchase or transfer ownership of the building. You can't tell me the private landlord is one of the city's prolific evictions. So they said he get more evictions than anybody else. And what happened is, since 2009, because when they complained, they found a way to evict him. But I'm telling you all this stuff because I think these folks don't invest all their money when they come into our community. I know. Remember, I was in all of them for 25 years. They get tax credit, and that's your federal. Some of the tax credit from the state, and then that's where your congressional people come in at, and they get money from HUD for the Congress and all that stuff. So my question is, and I didn't have time to look it up, but I might try to get it for y'all. If some of y'all know, y'all can tell me, because I don't know. My question is how much money they're getting from the government to have this property and treat people. And they got places all over the place, Chatham, everywhere. And that building on my corner, the building on the corner where I live, I told y'all the first building that I saved across from Mollison. And when I looked up, it was empty the people out. And I know that building had tax credit. That was the first one I saved. So and Pajay fixing it up or whatever, I don't know. But just something to give y'all heads up on, that they are talking about properties right now. Land and weeds. All of a sudden, they're concerned about the weeds and stuff, the red line and how, red line and what happened with the red line and all these houses and stuff. And they're throwing the minority or the racism because, once again, they're going to ride our backs and continue to take. We won't have a community in a minute. We already don't. It's already halfway gone. But that's one way of getting a handle on this, and not for us. And because we're not ready, and I don't know how much your leadership in those areas are paying attention, but I would submit that they need to, because it's another game. I remember when I was in office, if you go down on St. Lawrence and you see all those beautiful homes built with character, we built those homes. We built the one on 44th and Vincennes, the first your first greenhouse. But we was gonna build 100 of those. And then when you go down on Indiana from 48th all the way down to 43rd, maybe 49th, 43rd, you'll find those houses with those good red doors and stuff. I remember when and I just tell you how they're doing the land. When some people came to me and told me they wanted that land, that was a long stretch of land. They wanted, that's what you're gonna do with it. We're going to build on it and put it back on the tax roll. How are you going to put it back on the tax roll? And I wasn't pleased with the answer. So I found a black woman. She was an integrated couple, but I found this black woman too and helped her secure the land and the other stuff to be able to build that, save it for based off your income. And if you see those houses when you go down, they got red doors. And they're like little country houses. They're really nice houses. Just remember that I would not give up that land. And I gave it to her. I remember I talked to the elected officials that were surrounding. You know, at one point, blacks, I want the people to know, and if you're in another city, you tell me where you had it too. I used to tell them, we was in charge of all of the land that was in the city was represented by black people. All of it. You're all of them, your state rep, your congressman, your senator, it was represented by black people. And I just tell them, God is not going to make no more land. There's no way he's going to make any more land. And we got to come together and build and develop this land and mark our community and make it be ours. That's where it's going to all be in my book. This is how we put together the they had what you call the Home Builders Association. That's a white association. And that's why I'm looking and watching this. So the city would give them the land for a dollar and the priest that they're going to put the property back on the property roll. And I had to understand, one thing you have to do when you see something going on, you have to say, how did they do this? So I said, why are you giving them a dollar? And black folks got to beg to have one person to one black person to just be able to be part of that construction. That don't make no sense that you're going to come get our land, and after getting our land, then you're going to build on it. You're going to build and make the money. Got the land for a dollar, and a black person who build can't get the land. Well, you can't find it. I said, uh-huh. So I looked at how they were structured, and we did the African-American home builders with the same way they were structured, because they had to put everything in place so that we could give black folks the land for a dollar. I remember an American home builders, I won't call his name, wait, you know. Anyway, the American home builders sent one of their people to be on our, to help come with us to be what we was doing. I said, no, you can't do this. Then they eventually made that guy president. Just some of y'all know who he is. But anyway, but up there, of the American home builders, American home builders got very upset with me. They went to them and said, how dare her do this? I said, how dare they try to take over this war? Then they can go build any way you want to. But here, black folks going to build, and we're going to do a 70-30 on this land and building in my ward. And the 30%, even them, you better be shut up before I do 80-20. And the 30% will be, even if they get the land, others, they would have to have 70% black folks. Well, it was working well. And I'm telling you this because I see what's getting ready to go on. When you see they're pulling this land into the city and into the county and all that, that's some money they can leverage to give land away free to somebody for a dollar. And you might get one or two blacks, and then they take a picture with them. And I'm very skeptical of what's going on. So for your edification, for your information, you can look all that up if you want to. We really did that. We set aside 100 lots for the home builders to build and to make quality houses in the Third Ward. If you go on St. Lawrence and you come around on that 44th, all around 44th, all them beautiful homes, they were building it. We took 10 people. Two people were experienced building from the ground up. Some of them had just done rehab. But they did it. They did that. They did the they built those houses. And the people got upset with me. The unions got upset. They came and they said that they was angry because I was putting on union workers. I said, you going to put them in the union? Black folks going to build these houses. You got me some? I said, black folks going to build these houses. And they built them. And they're beautiful homes. And they came all around the corner, and they was building those. And that's what the whole fight was about, the land, when I was fighting back and forth. You have to understand, it's always about the land. It wasn't about nothing else. It was about that land. And so understanding what they was trying to do, and ours has been successful because they said that people won't come back, they won't move back there. Well, you can build and know they're coming, but I can't build. So we built homes. We gave them the land for free. We helped them out for a dollar and helped them out, but they had to do, it was economics that they had to deal with. We helped them a little, but we didn't do what these Project and all of them do, who take all of the city and the city and the federal money and the state money to get rich and act like they're doing you a favor when they're using you. So, and it was our TIF-NIF that I created that we made sure the houses on that block received a fence and a facelift. But we came on around. And you can see those houses sometimes. So when you see what's going on now, and I'm really concerned, and I don't know whether anybody keeping their eyes on the prize of this, that all of a sudden, the last week all you heard about is red. Wow, you know, all of a sudden white folks get interested in what's going on with our property and what's going on in our community when they want to take it, when that stuff has been sitting in their face for years. They talking about the zombie houses, redlining. We know about redlining. And when I see Prajem and I see the west side, they got places on the west side, they got places on the south side, got places in Indiana. I think about Connor Costello. Some of y'all don't know who that those whites are. They had all them cold water flats on the west side, and they had all them slum houses on the west side. And we had to, when we came in with Dr. King, we ended up pushing them out of the west side to give folks the right, because you couldn't move west to Racine during that time, and you really couldn't go over in Oak Park and all them other places that black fled to. So we had to fight Connie Costello for that. So when you read this and you have context, you understand what these people get ready to do. I would hope that the black elected officials will get together and look at this land and look at what's going on and rebuild these communities for our people, because we're being pushed away. You can't blame those people and their representatives who's trying to take it, because they're doing what they're supposed to do. You have to get ours. I'll just be happy to take a picture with somebody to put some stuff up. Even across from, when you look at Mollison, I think the Alderman live there now. Across the street from Mollison, those houses. We built those houses. We made sure black built those houses, and we made sure that the structure looked like the character of the community. And that was all the building that we was doing. You know, we was trying to make sure that we saved the character. So the fight was all about the land. So I'm really concerned, all of a sudden everybody concerned about the redlining and all the other stuff and all this stuff going on with land. And I don't know where you plan to go. You got to have a community, y'all. And the blacks who are divesting in our community, they have money. They can come and invest in our community. I had some blacks who came, and there are some blacks now who have been there from the beginning, and they're still there. So I have some really concerns about that, y'all. We better look at what's going on with that. Because like Wells, Princeton, and Shields, we had houses for them. I have the design. It's going to be in my book. Well, we were going to build all them houses over there. Like, there was going to be like $90,000 with two flats and a mother-in-law basement. Why? Because it was going to be frame houses built like the houses over there. And we had a big fight. I went to, and I'm just trying to tell y'all, it can't get done. It just take work and take fight. And you have to study. You have to understand. You have to know who you are. Lori do not run those wars in the city. These people are giving away their powers, and I'm going to come back. But Wells, Princeton, and Shields, I was going to have that, too. It's in part of the layout of my book. But Wells, Princeton, and Shields, and I met down at planning, and they wanted me to sign off on, that's why she wanted to take away the power, all of them have to sign off on everything. Sign off on them doing, buying these folks' homes and moving them. And I said, no. You can't do this. Well, we're going to give them fair market rights, but you're going to destroy a community. And the thing of it is, the railroad company wanted all over there. And I wouldn't sign off on it. When I tell you I was about the land, all you got to do is drive over there on 55th Street and go around Norman. All that whole community disappeared for the railroad company. That was another one that I would not sign off on. And then, don't let these Alderman tell you they don't have the power to stop. They got to have the courage and use their power that the government have given them. So I'm very concerned. Now, in terms of CHA, now I told y'all, and they're just not getting on this. I've been telling y'all for the last few months, the first thing that woman did when she got in office, but the state rep was doing it too. They don't have but one down there. And then you got the one in the 11th Ward. They're going to take the land over there where Icky's and build a school for Chinatown. They don't want their children going to Phillips and Dunbar. And the money's not going in there. And I told y'all something wrong with that picture. Now, they held it up for a minute. I don't know whether something's still going on with it or not. But according to Hood, and I thought when we was fighting to keep the development. You know, we really couldn't find nobody to fight with us. These elected officials didn't say no with me and most of your leadership. And I'm listening at the LSCs. Some of them, knowingly, unknowingly, had a lot to do with the demolishing of public housing. Some of you, if y'all was at Phil Jackson's birthday party, his last birthday, and he said to the whole group, he said, I have to apologize to Alderman Tillman because I was part of demolishing and fighting her real hard when she was trying to save those buildings over there. He said, I didn't have the understanding. And I accepted that apology. But that's why he said, I really want to say this in front of everybody. They insisted that I come to his party, and I went and enjoyed it, and that's what he said. And that's because I knew that deferred maintenance. And see, it wasn't just in Chicago. You look through all the major cities, Detroit, New York, Jersey, or even down south, they do deferred maintenance and people start running. And when they run, then they knock them down. Those buildings are as good as any of the building on Lakeshore Drive. It was just the deferred maintenance and how they began to stop fixing and taking care of the buildings. And they laxed, they made a lax on they, relaxed their, what they said people could do. You know, they which can and cannot do in there so they could get it. So then I see where the Dearborn Home people are down there fighting for the land with the people down there. And it's interesting because Dearborn was one of the ones that we saved just before we got out. We was on our way to Icky's. We didn't get Icky's. And it's interesting because Icky parents, they fought hard against me. And I was trying to tell them, y'all don't want to do this. Are we tired of you? I said, okay. But the Dearborn Home was one of the ones that we saved. And if you go by there, you'll see how it looked. And I was worried about one that they might turn it into something for IIT. That's why we put it in there. Carver Plaza was one that they were trying to get rid of. Carver Plaza, some of you people listening, it was a historical place. They was in the 10-hour Carver Plaza. I got it back, took it, and put it without the redistrict, put it in our ward, and we saved it. Where those black folks live in. And the same way on 39th Street, where Brown over there, we did that to try to save those houses. But you do have say. You just got to have the courage and the fight. That's like, so we can have this. And then all of a sudden, you see this land question pop up. Now, I don't know what the rules are, whether they had changed. And I have to get the rules to read them to y'all because I remember we had, even the board members had to come before the city council to be confirmed. And people had, you had a say-so more. So a lot of this stuff kind of got wiped out and over. I see where Lori have appointed Michael Scott Deja Vu to the CPS, to the Chicago Board of Education. I want to know what Mike is going to do about it, about this school. And he told me it's Deja Vu like his daddy. Well, he got a sister in him now, but they both holding power. You know, what are you going to do about, you know, instead of a third, and a third is what was supposed to be built back on those lands, on that land. I knew it won a third market, a third rental, and a third affordable. And I just knew better. Because it was too close to the, it was just too close. And I'm looking at some of the LSCs talking, but they're the reason why some of this stuff happened. When we put it on hold, Dixon and I went and had a meeting downtown at the HUD office, and along with our congressman, the 7th, that was congressman of the area. And I remember Danny said, Dorothy, ain't nothing I can do now. It's over. Well, that's what you mean. Wonder why God rest her soul had went door by door, and I will always remember that white binder, and got those people to sign that they wanted to move out of there and get their vouchers and to get their whatever else they was going to get. They really rent assistance just to get them out of there because they had a technicality, and we fought. They missed it, and I said, you can't do this, and we held it up, and that's when they doubled back on me, and they got the black one, the one, the white, to go and meet with them LSCs and told them I just want them to live in, and some of your famous people said it too. I won't name them. So I just want them to live in rats and roaches and all that other stuff while I'm somewhere else. When I'm telling them, you ain't gonna find a way you pay $5, $10 a month for rent. You need to get a hold of yourself and get some order over here. And let's save these buildings. And now you see then they've. Well, how can one Chinese go to state government, get their history declared in the public schools, and it starts the school year coming up, and we still waiting on ours, and how can one in Leavenworth Ward and all these folks build a school? Because they keep you so emotional and hateful and involved with hating people that you're not dealing with what needs to happen. So we got to watch this land question. It's too deep, an educational question. And I'm going to take a break in a minute. I got to take a break. Okay. Okay, all right. So I was going to tell y'all. Now, when we, and then you talk about the CHA, but then you look at, I was telling y'all about the food. It's no good. We got to get the, we got to get all the contracts. Who all have these contracts in these schools? I had the name once before, and I told y'all. I don't have it with me today. They went around to some of the schools, and they had a taste test for what they wanted in the schools to eat in the lunchroom. I didn't see no black school. If I'm missing something, y'all tell me. Because I didn't see it. I didn't see what they, I don't know what they're doing in Mollis and other schools. And because truth of the matter is all this taste testing go to hell. They need to open these lunchrooms back up, clean them up like they got up north and other places, and put real food in there with a nutritionist in charge and some lunchroom people cooking the food. Because they spend an awful lot of money on it. The other thing is all the $9 billion? Is that how much it is? That the school board passed? But yet they run up your taxes? You better watch that. Now why are they playing with us and not doing nothing for us? The Afghanistan. They got a whole article, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. I've been trying to do it every week. It was on. I read it in the Sun-Time. It was a June 5th Sun-Time article where they was dealing with the schools and stuff, trying to make sure they got all their learning and their teaching. They're teaching them math. They're teaching them science. They don't have to teach them. They have to learn our language. It's like a takeover. Why they got us emotional, running around here like some crazy fools, hating somebody. And our communities and stuff are being taken over. We got to do a forensic audit. I told you of your community. Y'all take a moment and see what you have. So you can see just how, you know, what I want. Is Francine Washington still on that board? Because she used to be at LAC. She needs to stand up for those folks for that land. It was somebody else on the board. I can't remember his name, who voted against, who did not want it, to give that land, and Laura replaced them. That's deep. When Harold Washington was mayor, and the first group of people, they moved, and I was concerned because black folks was in, with the water's important. It was with Lake Michigan. That's what they call it, South Lake, South Shore. From downtown to the end of the lake, you had black folks living. And them black folks, at first, didn't want to move, and they were going to redo them. I think y'all might. I think the HUD commissioner was Pierce, Commissioner Pierce, if I'm not mistaken. And Harold said, "No, y'all gonna come back. They gonna fix them. Y'all moving back in." And the people thought they wasn't gonna move back in, and they didn't come back in. And that's all over the place. And that's because people do not look. You got the power. You have to use it. But you got to study to use it, know what your power is. You don't have to. That's what them folks do. They go get an office, and they don't let you teach. Why should you be elected if you say, "Ain't nothing I can do"? Well, then why the hell you need to be there? Then you get mad. Somebody said, one of the people in the thing for CHA, said, "Well, I'm sorry. That's why I voted for Laura. She promised so-and-so." Well, that's something for anybody, not what they talking. We need to see what your program is. Everybody now hollering, "We're going to get rid of crime. Show me how you're going to do it." And then what else is that economic education? Folks don't show you nothing. They play with your done emotions. I'm telling y'all, it's some deep stuff. What else? I'm telling you, I had this stuff laid out for y'all. The other thing, tell you about Michael Scott being on the Board of Education. We're going to see. Two out of two. Laura going to appoint three more aldermen, by the way. About two or three. Maybe three. And Garcia is up in Washington trying to push to get all the people who work for Congress unionized. Because he wants the whole country. That's some socialist mess, y'all, but they're working on. And he's calling them the workers, not staff. They're not workers, they're staff. And he said that he's going to do it like around the country. I'm trying to show you how these folks are working on behalf of their people. He was going to do it from like they're doing around the country. We have to watch that. And I'm going to get the amount of money each one of them make. They make some good salaries. Not on that, whether they did or not. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you are a public servant. And I think that's what the elected officials and people who work for the city, I'm not talking about you civil servants and those kind of things. When you're an elected official, you and your staff are public servants. You're supposed to do what's in the best interest of the public, but especially for the interest of your people. Safety? That's why I defund the police is bullshit. You need education, economics, all this stuff you'll be needing. Other than that, they're not going to produce that. Why do you need them? But nobody says, what are you going to do? And the sad thing about it, I was looking at the rules of the city council. I know that you can change them different times. And I know they probably have changed, but why about them? What Laura going to do? Who Laura going to pick? Who Laura going to put there? Laura do not have the power of the city council. They only have the power to give it to them. Chicago government set up executive legislative branch. Laura going to put me over the a committee. The council does that. But they give the power, and Laura tell her what folks she want and who she want to vote. That's why I would never accept a chairmanship on the deal of nobody else. I had one on Harold Washington. I was chairman of housing. Because I didn't know you weren't coming to me telling me what to do if I thought it was against what I wanted to do. I wasn't going to do it. But on the Harold, when I was chairman of housing, we went all out in the community and had housing meetings. We're just kind of a different breed. A group of us went in there together truly to try to save our people and to do some work. But Garcia spending time up there now trying to unionize because they're going to do it across the country. You should look him up. I don't know his parents was in the union before. Because I know, now when I looked him up, I always asked Garcia, when was he naturalized? When did he get naturalized? He never tell me. But when I was looking him up, it said that he became a citizen in 1977. 77, you become a citizen. You become the alderman after, anyway. But you come in, and now they are working on what they're going to do. And they have an agenda. And what we do is we get in the middle of it. And they use us and our fight and our plight. They use us to move their agenda. And we're not really on it. The other thing, and then I'm going to go to the phone. I'm going to take a minute break, and then I'm going to come back and go to the phone. Oh, it's almost active on a minute. Anyway, the other thing is, like Guterres said, he's going to have a nationwide effort to increase the number of naturalization. That's a whole other thing. These folks have an agenda and a plan. You can't get mad at them. I want you to look at your community, look at your schools. You got to see what's precious to you. Is abortion precious to you, or is trying to save your children and look out for the future? Are you going to holler whatever they give you? You have to see what's important. Look around and try to salvage what we have. Detroit don't have to be like it is. Parche all over there and the other folks getting land all over there. And they did that on purpose. I had family all over in Detroit and had nice houses, my aunt and all of them. They did that on purpose to stop servicing them. They got rid of Motown, hit the USA. Now they own it when you go look for the tours. But just so much. We have richness, and we give it away because we don't understand. Y'all got to start asking, well, what you going to give me other than, how you going to do this other than that moment of emotions? Talk of Chicago, 69 Riviera, number 77. I get that. I got so much more to say, but I got to go to y'all. 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.wvn.com on iHeartRadio. Take us up. You go. We're on Facebook. We're on group Facebook. We Ebony got us on Gitter and Twitter. No, they didn't chat about me from Twitter. Ebony and Blog Talk, some everything, y'all. I might try to go on social. What's that? Social Truth, whatever that thing is Trump got. I'm going to get on that one, maybe. I'll see him. But this is some deep stuff going on here, y'all. While y'all right here playing a game, you're getting wiped out. But you be used to them. I'm going to go to the phone. And he said, I don't have to take an Okay, y'all. So that means I'm going to clean my board up for right now. I got a few calls I'm going to take, and those I don't be able to take stay on, and I have a few lines open. I'm going to go to Cliff first. How you doing, Cliff?
Hey, Mr. Duffy, thanks. Can you hear me?
Yes.
You got some noise in the background. But listen, I agree 100% with what you're saying. But the only problem I have is in terms of our black community, our Rosewood, our Greenwood, our Black Wall Street, the problem that we have right now are our youth in terms of the mindset, not being productive, but being destructive.
Why do you think they like that?
Well, I believe it's like that because it's a lack of it's self-hatred, it's a lack of pride.
No. They're functionally illiterate. It goes to the school system. They're functionally making them functionally illiterate. It goes to what we're doing in terms of our community, in terms of youth are naturally warriors. And we have not laid a plan out for them and to pull them to us and not leave them to the wind. They are worth saving. Might be able to save some, might not be able to save them all, but what have we planned? It might be the women and men of our community not standing up fighting on their behalf and trying to save our community. All they see is death around us. They see nothing, you know, and so we leave them out there and we give them to other people. And if you all, if the grown-ups are talking hate, Cliff, if the grown-ups are only talking about hate, what you think they're going to talk about?
Right. So all I'm simply suggesting is that we have to do whatever necessary. And I say that, you know, if we have our youth that are not productive and are destructive, I'm saying that we should, us as black people, just start investing in an institution or some type of establishment where we can rehabilitate our brothers and sisters that are misguided.
I'm with that.
So if you want, some people might want to call them prison. Some people might want to, you call it whatever you want, but let them be.
Oh, I think that, I'm not going to defund the police and let folks kill folks and walk the street. I don't believe in that, but I do believe that we need to make sure that the algorithm in our community change and that we do kind of somehow look at what we're going to do. And I think some of that is on us, Cliff. Cliff, I love you. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Anthony.
Yes, ma'am. How you doing this morning?
I'm fine, Anthony. How you doing?
Blessed and highly favored.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You shared some very important information early this morning about real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way for me to get in touch with you so I can get some advice about a closing that I'm in the middle of?
Well, I don't do closing.
No, I got an agent. It's the information that you're sharing.
Well, I was sharing about the public stuff. If you're doing private stuff in terms of information, you need to have a lawyer in your closing.
Yeah, that's what I'm dealing with. But they don't share the information like you sharing the information. And I think it's very important to know the history of what you're doing before you go into something in the future so that you don't
get caught up. Anthony, will you get Anthony? When I get up the air, I'll call you for a minute.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
Okay, Anthony. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'll at least try. Call you. At least I'll call you. Taylor? Hello, Taylor. 1, 2, 3, 4. Going once. Going twice. Hello, Taylor. Put Taylor on hold.
How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm fine. How you doing?
I want to say bless your heart. Everything you talk about needs to be talked about, and you're right. You have to have a courage and conviction to get out here and do what you need to do, and that's exactly what I'm doing. I may hurt in my left leg, but I'm going to everybody who I think can help me, help others to get this started.
Yeah, we got to do that. We got to look at our community, and we have to look at it not as something. You know, we gave up all the parks. Every park in the city of Chicago was surrounded by black representation. You see black children out there playing ball and football and all kind of stuff and families and stuff. The parks now, most of the parks are not represented by us, and now you see soccer and stuff going on in these parks.
It's really deep. I love that. Let me tell you what I saw last week.
What?
I moved into Brownsville recently, and I was coming down the street, and a brother was hanging down there on 35th Street.
That's Douglas community. That's the Douglas community. You can call it Brownsville.
She came out at 12 o'clock at night. I went to go get some meat. I know I'm going to be out there late. She going to stand on the corner and have her hand folded and look at this. They weren't saying that. They was looking. And I told her the next day, I said, you know what? Don't be making no noise. Don't say nothing. He said, we know. I said, she got a lot of nerve to bring her butt out the house and cross her fingers like you also going to be scared.
Oh, but they be walking down the street at 12 o'clock at night. Nobody snatched their purse like our folks be scared and they don't. Thank you so much. Thank you, Taylor. Do I have time to take another call? Okay. I'm going to get Gregory Daniel. I'll get Pat. Okay. I'll see. Can I get Pastor Gregory?
Good morning, Professor Tillman. How are you?
I'm all right, Pastor Daniels. How you doing?
Learning so much by listening to you. I want to ask you a question. When they tore down the housing developments on State Street, Robert Taylor, and all those homes, they put a group over there called Centers for New Horizons. And when I went into the office, it was a bunch of white folks.
Well, Center for New Horizons is not on with Robert Taylor. They're on King Drive, aren't they?
I thought they was on State Street at one time.
Well, I don't know. Maybe so. I know Brother, what's his name? I think of his name in a minute. Saccone. I don't haven't seen him in a little while. He was kind of over Center for New Horizons, wasn't he?
Well, when I went in there, Alderman Tillman,
all over our place now. That's all that's there. Anything that's got to do with anything to help anybody, we're not in charge of. We have given that up. And that's what I'm trying to say. We got to reassess.
I don't know if you put black people over. Why would you bring a bunch of white people in to run communities for black people?
Well, I'm going to reach out for brothers. It's going to air them a long time. But their office is over on 40 on King Drive.
Oh, okay. I know that at one time they were somebody was on State Street. And when I went into that office.
Okay, well, I'll find out. You find out, then you tell me. Okay? All right. Look, I think I got to take one more. Okay. Art?
Good morning. How are you, ma'am?
I'm fine, Art.
Good. The first teacher of children are parents.
Right, we know that. We've said that before over and over.
Right, so if a child goes to school and he does not know how to read, write, and spell, and do basic mathematics, that's on the parent.
Well, hold up, Mark. No. Art, hold up. And I'm going to deal with it on coming on the other side. When my children, Evan and Jimmy, walked in Mollison, they could read, write, spell, compute, and do all. But because of that system called continuous progress, that's what made us organize the parents and do. When we realized what they was teaching them, when they realized how all of what they was doing to those black children, right now these schools are messed up. You send them to those schools there in there half of the day. Yeah, you work with them, and you send them. Where are you sending them into? We got to look at what we're sending them, Art.
I do not disagree with you on that.
Okay.
I just didn't want the caller said that our children do not know, but when your children get their first lessons from the parents, and when we go, why they did this to us, they didn't do anything. If you had a cold,
I got to go now. Art, he's telling me I got to go. Thank you, Art. Listen on the other side, because I'm going to deal with that whole question enough. That not that we should take no. And, yeah, I got a few lines open if y'all want to call, and I'll take you on the other side. We're going to continue the conversation. Coffee to the conversation with me, 773-591-69. We're streaming live at www.vn.com on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, Group Facebook, and we're also on Blog Talk. Get your coffee, get your tea, and I'll be back as soon as the national anthem and all that stuff is over with. Be right back.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690, WBON.
Testifying that aides pushed Trump to address what was happening and tell his supporters to go home.
The president had wanted to make a statement and address the American people. He could have been on camera almost instantly.
Witnesses testified that Trump watched the events unfold on TV, waiting hours before trying to quell the violence. I'm Trey Thomas.
The first known case of polio in the United States in nearly a decade is being reported in New York City. The New York State Department of Health is asking healthcare providers to be on alert for additional cases and urges those who are not vaccinated against the disease to get a shot. They also talk about the known case.
The Rockland County Department of Health was notified this past Monday evening that an unvaccinated adult in Rockland County is confirmed to have polio. We are now surveying the family and close contacts of this individual to assess the risk to the community.
The CDC says the last known case of the deadly virus that can cause paralysis and muscle weakness in the United States was back in 2013. That case, however, cropped up in an infant who had traveled from India polio was declared eliminated in America back in 1979.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I'm about to enter.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Recently sworn in, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson now has her first case with the Supreme Court. She is the first black woman to ever serve on the nation's highest court. The Supreme Court has declined a request from the Biden administration about deporting immigrants, but says it will hear arguments. The Department of Homeland Security wants to prioritize deportation for immigrants who are considered a threat to national security. Texas and Louisiana filed lawsuits over the policy, saying it's conflicting with the law, and the Supreme Court agreed. The justices, however, did agree to hear the case and review the policy in December.
YouTube will crack down on videos it claims has abortion misinformation or instructions for unsafe abortion methods. The company tweeted that it would start immediately, ramping up in the next few weeks. Its parent company, Google, was criticized recently after lawmakers urged them to remove such results that turn users looking for abortion resources to anti-abortion crisis pregnancy centers.
For more on these stories and international, national, state, and local news affecting the black community, listen to the Black Information Network on the iHeartRadio app or log on to binnews.com. I'm Alexandria Ikemoni with Ray Harris on your home for 24/7 news, the Black Information Network.
The transatlantic slave trade was a segment of the global slave trade that transported between 10 million and 12 million enslaved Africans across the Atlantic Ocean to the Americas from the 16th to the 19th century. It was the second of three stages of the so-called triangular trade, in which arms, textiles, and wine were shipped from Europe to Africa.
Nearly 48% of black women and 44% of black men have some form of heart disease. The rate of heart disease is also higher in the growing middle and upper class black community than in white Americans with similar socioeconomic status. Hi, this is Dana Devine, host of Equal Health, Equal Hope. This Saturday, we'll discuss why this is the case. Education and awareness are just the beginning. Saturdays at 11 a.m., listen to Equal Health, brought to you by Equal Hope. Everyone deserves the best possible health care.
Hello, this is Chandra Simmons, executive producer of WVON and Ariel Investments' 40 Game Changers program. It's our biennial celebration of the top performing black influencers who are 40 and under and making a name for themselves in Chicago. If you know an extraordinary young person in business, health, education, the arts, politics, sports, or social justice who is at the top of their game and making a difference in our community, nominate them by visiting wvon.com/40gamechangers. Nomination deadline is Friday, August 5th. Awardees will be celebrated in an exclusive ceremony later this fall and featured in a special tribute on Vaughn TV. BMO Harris Bank is a proud sponsor of WVON's 40 Game Changers. They're changing the game for Black and Latinx businesses to help them make real financial progress.
Greetings, family. This is Salim Muwakil asking you to check in with America's most astute radio audience every Saturday between 7 and 10 p.m. and astound family and friends with your bulging mind muscle. Join our global classroom where we're all students of the world.
On the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Years ago, black businesses flourished in Chicago. They were successful because we supported them. However, even just prior to the pandemic, many black businesses were struggling. What happened? Hi, I'm Omari Kamal, founder and managing director of Community Capital Tax and Accounting. On Saturdays at 12 noon, real estate attorney Shara Kamal, businessman Kurt Cargo, and I will host Wealth of Communities. We're going to be engaging in serious conversations about black wealth, moving from buying black to investing in black businesses, and creating a national black economic agenda. It's time. Tune in Saturdays at 12 p.m. for Wealth of Communities here on 1690 WVON.
This is P. Ray of Black Excellence Hour, a show for people with high self-esteem. As we battle COVID-19, be sure to heal yourself internally by using your God-given immune system as well as any other treatments you choose. Be sure to take lots of vitamins, bake your melanin in the sunshine, and sweat a couple times a week. Put that pop down and drink water to build and hydrate your body from the inside. God gave everybody more than a little common sense. So bring it with you this Sunday to Black Excellence Hour at 5 p.m. on WVON.
Here at the Almond Joy Factory, where tropical vibes abound, we use soft, fresh-tasting coconut.
The crunchiest almonds and delicious chocolate candy.
Ah, but do you know what our most important ingredient is?
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
Sometimes you don't.
Almond Joy's got nuts and something even way better than that. Yes, Almond Joy is made with almonds and joy.
Pump of our heartbeats, the pedal to our metal, the sparks that ignite us, the pistons that push us, the passions that drive us. From the feelings that move us to the places that pull us on the roads that unite us. With nearly 6,000 stores and over 17,000 auto care centers, NAPA has America's largest network of parts and care, here to keep you firing on all cylinders. NAPA!
Play WVON 1690 AM.
Getting WVON 1690 AM station from iHeartRadio.
Try it out for yourself. You can now listen to the Talk of Chicago on Alexa.
From the Xfinity Studios at WVON, it's Dorothy Tillman on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
Got some difficult days ahead. I've been to the mountaintop, that mountaintop experience that Dr. King talked about. He said, I don't mind, because he's allowed me to go. How difficult. Dr. King was so spiritual, he saw the trick we was going to be in right now. It's 7 o'clock. Wherever you are in the country, in the state, in the city, in the world, take that deep breath and understand who you are as a black person, as a powerful thing you got to have. Take a deep breath. Your heart and your mind is one. Let's clear it out. And it's raining out there this morning. I guess it's still raining out. Take a deep breath. Black, 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 black. Come on, Justin. We're going to do it for the Trinity two more times. Black, 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 black. One more time. Woo! Thank you, Holy Ghost. Black, 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 black. Is that black enough for you?
In yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. Always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. Ha! But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
Yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, and I'm black and I'm beautiful. That's what we got to start saying to our children as a community. Be proud of who you are. You talk about somebody every day, just talk, 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 blame, blame, blame. That we got, yes, I'm black and I'm proud of it, but you have other folks and charge you our algorithm, and even some of us. We got so much hate. If you're not hating or talking about somebody you hate or you're mad at, you can't talk. I was talking to someone the other day, and in fact, I heard somebody call Parrish one day and say, yeah, Trump left that left this country like this. Are you insane? When we see this man that messed this country up and black folks believed in him and we the last one getting anything. I told you last week, Clyburn could even get what he wanted. That's why you don't see him that much. He's hurt. But if we're dealing with that rather than looking at ourselves as a whole and a unit, we got to reboot, y'all. We got to really look at most of our communities are being just diluted. And everybody else have community, they're building houses, they're building education economic for their people. And we get individualized. I used to tell people all the time, if you don't care about somebody else's child, just your own, you better be careful, because love has no imaginary boundary. That's the child he's going to bring home to you. So you got to always think about the children in the community as a whole. That's why church is so important. And that's why these ministers have to be right. And some of this stuff that's going on in these streets with these children, where to go, some of these churches need to begin to look at what can we do to have a safe haven for the children. We had them. For the children to come to, what can we do? How can we? I told y'all with the Alpha Brothers, with Mollison, when Mollison went, and we're going to talk about that another time, the whole thing about education. When Mollison parents boycotted because of James Hill and Donnie Trotter, those young brothers in the Alphas who fought Stroge and all of those old ones who didn't want us to come over there. And they helped those children so much and did so well that Mollison shot up on the chart, the school, and those children were very proficient and doing computers. That's why Eben is so good in it right now. And but they did that. So and within our communities, we used to have a lot of places in safe haven. Right now, our children don't have it. I see that Comcast is getting $500,000 to the Y's and the YMCA. And we got the one in Woodlawn. I guess that's the only one we got except on 35th Street. But they got Little Village and all of these places. They're giving $1 billion. These folks are, that they got it in Hummer Park, Little Village, Logan Square, Lakeview. We have got to stop here for a moment, y'all. You can't always. And Art, I'm not going to come back to you. I had you already, baby. Love you dearly. And I know we always talk about code of conduct. That's every week, and I understand code of conduct that we have, but we got to have a code of conduct for our community, too, what we're going to do. And, yes, we are the first teachers. And, like I said, you can teach them. You send them in the school system right now. And what they're doing is they are focusing on sex. Instead of learning about a noun as the name of a person, place, and thing, they're teaching them that you can't say he is she. You can't say mother. You got to say birth person. All this crazy mess they're teaching, that there's gender, there's no sex, no male, female. And but if you teach biology, that's why they can't teach biology, music, education. Our system of education is so messed up that they're functioning illiterate. But those who are allowing our children to suffer like this, their children don't go to schools like that. They don't do that. These folks who are talking about defunding the police and spewing hate to you every week, their children don't go to school with your children. Most of your public official children don't even go to school with your children, your leaders. Now, if they do, it's one of the most elitist public school it is. My children, all five of them, came out of the public school system. But I must say, my grandchildren, except for two in the suburbs, their parents opted to either homeschool them or send them to another school. And I don't blame them. But most, that's why they don't try this. They're not going to try and fix the school their children don't go. And you know what really makes me upset? And you're probably going, I want you to understand me very clearly. I heard those folks who came here and America was good to them are the ones who's talking about our country. But they use us as a springboard to do it. And then they turn around and say, we're for family values. I heard these people the other day talking about why they leaving the Democratic Party, because they're for family values. They believe in economic, they believe in church and God and all that. We believe in all that too. It's like they done spooked us not to believe in God, not to have a value system. I think, Art, that's what you, and I'm not angry with you, but I got you what you had to say. You said that. You say it every week. Call me next week. They, you know, you have to build. You can't just build your child. You got to build community. Dr. King's book, From Chaos to Community. Where do we go from community to chaos? Where do we go from here? That's a good book to read. But I think that our churches are failing our community. If you get an opportunity, you can listen back at Pastor Hunt's sermon last week at Liberty Baptist Church in Chicago. I was very interested in his sermon that he talked about, when he talked about what we got to do to the young folks walking the street, all kind of stuff we got to do. If we really believe in Jesus or believe in a higher power, we got to do something. I think these churches are sitting up like tombs in the middle of stuff, and they only come out, some of them, when they're standing behind some politician or they're going somewhere to a dinner. They only come out when they're doing that. They don't. How can you sit in the middle of all that? Why don't you set up some tutoring and you ease it into it? You know, have a place for kids to sit around and teach them how to eat and sit at a table. You know, it's interesting. I had my children, my grandchildren, I had four of them over there last night. So I told them, come on downstairs and eat. They come. I said, no. You know y'all not running staff with your food. I don't allow you in the bedroom no way. But to observe them sitting around the table, eating and talking and me listening, that's why they call it the supper, the last meal you ate. You had dinner, then you had supper. You got to teach them how to sit back around the table and eat. There's a reason why you sit around the table, and that's the reason why you say your blessing before you eat. It's tradition, some little traditional things that we as people have to do. It used to be you had one car. Most of them know what a station wagon is. You had one TV, you had one this, but now everybody do their own thing. There was an interesting thing on TikTok on Tucker Carlson the other night on TikTok. They showed the Chinese version, because Chinese own both of them, and they showed our version. And they showed the Chinese learning science and math and engineering and learning Rubik's Cube and showed our folks doing other stuff. It was really interesting. I taped it. It was a very good thing for us. So we got to somehow look at this thing. We can have a different of opinions without getting angry. Let me say this before I move on any further. Last week when Mansung called in. Mansung, I hope you're listening. We talked about the NGO, and you said December 12th and all that. I understand that. Maybe I didn't explain to you. You got in a little late. I was talking about the non-government offices, not for the international stuff, but those government offices right now as an extension to the government that's getting all the resources. So when their people come in, they get vouchers, they get food, they get plane tickets. That's non-government organization, the Catholic Charity, all them, and they're sending them people. I had, and I'll be coming to the phone in a minute, I had someone to tell me the other day, see, you don't understand, man, people come up to me all the time looking for help. And there's no reason why they got to be begging and pitiful for help when other folks just get it. Your tax dollars, folks will give it to them, they don't understand the tax dollars. If everybody stop, you know, if you ain't paying taxes, then there won't be no money around. But we send billions to Ukraine and everywhere. We're doing everything but for our own community. We should be able to have that money to rebuild our communities. But when she had her children and she was looking for a place to stay, I was trying to help. And I kind of helped a little bit, but I can't help folks. I don't know. You know, I can't do that. I don't know what to do. But when I was in the store the other day, and I've been in different stores, I was at Ross on 47th Street, and I saw these folks in there with some clothes vouchers. Then, when I was in the grocery store, I saw them folks in line, all the food they had, and this poor woman was trying to get some food. And I'm not saying who or what they should do, but there's some non-governmental organizations. When these folks come in, they send them up, they go to them, they send them on a job. Look around at your stores when you go in now. They already got a list of jobs they're going to send them on. They already got a list of housing. The vouchers, which is part of the public housing vouchers, that was supposed to go to the public housing people, because I remember when Gutierrez, we had a big old fight. When he was fighting on public housing, was torn out, he's a congressman by then, he wanted to take some of the vouchers from the public housing to put for some of the immigrants who was coming in. And I was saying, you can't do that. And we had a big fight, so he left messing with mine to go into some of the other ones because he knew I was going to fight him back. But he got them. But it was black folks who were supposed to get back in those units. what I'm saying is we need equivalent to NDG, you know, non-government organizations, where we are, we can set up some people to get, send them to day labor. We can set up the different services we can begin to help our people. We have done that. That's what I'm talking about. And I didn't have time to explain it to you last week, Anson, because you know I love you, because I was running out of time. My board was lit up. I wasn't talking about the international organization. That's a non-governmental organization, NDGO, who's getting the government funding, and they're placing these people all over the country and everywhere. That's what they're doing. And we don't have, some of our people don't have the resources. Some of the ministers, people don't know. They don't know what to do. And they come and they want jobs, they want this, they want that, and they don't know. So I think we got to see how we're going to do this. And I challenge those ministers and all those other folks. And now we got to coalesce and see what we can do for our community. We must do that. But there's no way the black community is going to survive without a base of understanding there is a God. Of our weary years, our silent tears, there is a God. So that's what I was, and I hope you listen, man, son. Because that's exactly what, not December 12th, I understand, I know those movements, but sometimes some of the people on the other end, y'all be so quick, I'm going to call and tell her this. No, I love you, but we got to, let's come on, y'all, let's get in one accord like we did with Black United, you know, Seabuck and all that other stuff, how we come together regardless of what we think and love each other and move towards saving our community, especially people like you and all these other folks out here who are really doing work. How can we coalesce and look at what we're going to do in terms of our community? There's so much going on out here, and there's so much trouble. There's pain. People are in pain. Folks don't have no place to stay. Folks don't have no food to eat. You know, and they're putting their children in these on schools, and these children are messed up because they're teaching their butts about sex. School's not supposed to be doing that, teach about no sex. Teach critical thinking and teach education. That's what I'm talking about, brother. I love you, too. I know the first teacher is the parents, and we must teach our children. But the school, when you send them to those schools, poor parents don't have the opportunity. They don't have the opportunity to move their children. Now, when Trump tried to let the dollar follow the child, y'all hollered. And your money should be able to follow that child. And I think he had put some in, and Biden might have pulled it back. I don't know, but it's a lot of stuff went on that y'all ain't paying attention because they keep your hate. Now, did I do Talk of Chicago already, I think, 69 WS? And what I'm going to do right now, because I really love all of y'all, including you, Art, young man. Y'all get mad when I tell y'all no. But that's all right, because we're gonna do this thing together. That's one thing about being a nonviolent scientist. You deal with the truth, you know. And when you believe in God, you deal in love. I'm going to play this. It's only a few seconds from Vance Jones. If you missed him on CNN Thursday, they was talking about, because see, one thing they said, Biden thing have gone down so far, the only thing that got him, and we're going to still go stay on the other subject. I just want to play this. The only thing that got him anywhere with a percentage is black people. And other folks walking away. See, a lot of these folks don't believe in God that's leading your children. And they got a whole lot of folks up in your schools, and these demonic. So I'm going to play this because I'm not going to have time to go, because once I get into, I don't have to go into a break. So once I have to get into my questions and answer, I don't want to stop and play it. But I want y'all, in case y'all miss Vance Jones on Thursday on CNN, Justin, would you play that piece for me, please?
I think for African-American voters in particular,
can you start
there's
it over?
A special heartbreak because, first of all, the pain is more intense. Gas prices. I think for African-American voters in particular, there's a special heartbreak because, first of all, the pain is more intense. The rising gas prices, food prices, it's really walloped the black community in a particular way. But the hopes were so much higher. And so you have a community that came out in huge numbers in 2018, huge numbers in 2020, expecting things to get a lot better, and instead, economically at least, it didn't come true. It got worse. And so you're going through a summer now of real heartbreak with black voters. The polls show that, and I think Biden's got to take it very seriously.
Now, did y'all hear that? I think that's all of it. And, you know, if y'all want to go to CNN to find that. And I played that for y'all for a reason, folks like Vance Jones and all of them, so y'all can hear what they're saying, so y'all can wake up. That's why you have people like, and I love, and I like I said, I love, you know, I know Obama, known him for a long time. But when they become billionaires now, I don't care, that's their money. But those are the folks that have the greatest influence over our youth. Black folks invested, everybody who made it got an investment from black folks, so they need to reinvest in the black community. But you just keep saying, oh, the police, just hate the police, systemic racism. Well, this is how you get to be a billionaire, systemic racism. Just keep our children so wrapped up and our people so wrapped up. Tell me what else I hear any of these people talk about God in the beginning of what they said. Never in the history of this country have we had folks who didn't talk about God. But I want to play that for y'all. But, Dava, you've been waiting for so long. Let me get you. Thank you for holding. You've been waiting since the last hour.
Yes, God bless you. I came out of my prayer.
Thank you.
And to worship, to get on your show, because it's something I need to say. Dorothy, I think you're a great person. You don't even understand. You don't remember me before I even got. After I left Harold Washington, I came back to Bronzeville, and I came to your office for you to let me work with you to do whatever I need to do. But you sent me to Alderman Bobby Rush's office, which is down the street from you.
Mm-hmm.
But let me say this, now, because I got to be real, because I'm a woman of God, and I'm on a spiritual sabbatical, and so I want to jump off to say this to you. Now, my black alderman, Bobby Rush was my alderman. You was also my alderman for 20-some years in the Third War. Bobby was in the second. Tony was my alderman in the fourth war. Pat Dow came later. Tim Evans came, and then Tyrone. Tim Evans left. Tony took his place, and Tyrone Kenner.
I replaced Tyrone Kenner.
Yeah, but I was only saying, then Wyatt Kenner became my godfather.
Cool.
And he taught me a lot, Wyatt Kenner. He's
oh,
the one
yeah.
That Tyrone. Yeah, and so I want to say this to you, Dorothy.
But before you go, now you know that one thing that people don't understand, once I was in office, the Kenner, who was the state rep, all, and even the alderman himself, we all became,
yes.
We worked very hard on behalf of that Third War. We worked together.
Right, and I know, and I lived there for, you was my alderman for 20 years in the Third War, and Bobby was in the Second War, but I worked with Bobby. You sent me to Bobby, but anyway, that was a good thing, because Bobby trained me up so well. But what I want to say this to you, alderman, now we know, I want to ask you a question, because I want to hear from you, because I heard it from everybody else, but I want to hear from you, because you was there with Harold Washington. What happened and why did our black people, when Harold Washington passed away, we tried to get a new alderman, Sawyer and, Sawyer and Evans, but they said half of the people divided the black votes. I was confused too, because I was young then, you know, I was in my 20s. And so what I wanted to say to you, do you believe that what happened is that we allowed Daley to get back in office, you know, his son, and then everything began to spiral down. But then people say when Harold Washington passed or died, the black people and many other people, they left the legacy of Harold and did other things. And I think that is a curse on our community from Yah, from God, because Harold was doing the right thing. And when he died,
well, let me say that. So I gave you a lot of time. First of all, I don't think there's no curse in our community.
I don't think
there's no curse. And that's going to take, you know, we're going to have to really, I'm going to give it 2 minutes, and I'm about to come back. It'll take more than that, Dob. You will hang up on you. You can just listen. I don't think it was no curse in our community. I think people got to understand when that time and what it was. And I really need to get into explaining, but some of the stuff I can't talk about. But I don't know whether the community was divided or whether or not it was manipulated. But there's a whole lot of stuff, and I don't think no curse. I think when we went in with Harold, and folks keep forgetting that, it was from the ground up. It wasn't top down. And everything that happened, when we did, and we went with a group. But I'm going to talk about that. I have more time to talk about it next week, because I don't believe in a curse, and people keep saying that, and I don't regret whatever happened. It happened. But we need to talk about, I'll talk about as much as I can what I can't talk about bad. This scene, because Sawyer and I ended up being real good friends. He stayed with me until the day he passed. In fact, his brother was, he's in charge of most of my planning in the war. But that's because of an understanding that he knows what I know. So we'll talk about that another time. Thank you. Anita. 1, 2, 3, 4. Anita.
Hi, Dorothy. Hi.
Hi, Anita.
Okay, I'm sorry. I had it on mute. Dorothy, did you know that one of Tommy's family members was shot?
No.
Yeah, his grandson and the grandson's brother were shot.
Is it Juana Sanders? Juana Sanders?
Pardon me?
You said Juana Sanders?
No, Tommy.
Who is that?
You know, he calls in, Tommy, and says, WWW, how dumb can you be?
Oh, I think you told me that last week, didn't you?
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, you told me last week.
Okay, Dwayne Wade, they were shot in Robbins. Dwayne Wade and Kiki Palmer, I thought they could come out and do some type of march with us. They're from that area. And we're just letting opportunity go away, and they're just murdering our children.
Well, marching, just all this marching ain't going to stop it. I tell you that. We got to do something deeper than marching, Anita. I mean, see what happens, folks misunderstand. We march for a purpose. We would pray before we go. Then we would go and expect the end result, not just to be doing, you know, we can't just go out and then come back in. There has to be a purpose and a reason and a change. So you march with a purpose.
The thing about it is that Jonathan is running in that district.
Jonathan
and
won
all
the
of
district.
That should be pulled together for nonviolence.
Jonathan won
you know
the district because Jonathan won the district. Nobody's running against him. He will be congressman.
Well, yeah, it's the Republicans. He still has to run, right?
Yeah, but he don't want. Once you won, when you get that district, there's not enough votes to take him out. Okay, Anita.
Well, you know, I'm just making sure.
Okay.
I was stepping.
Okay. Thank you, Anita. Thank you. Whew. Chris.
Good morning, Ms. Tillman.
Good
How
morning,
you?
Chris. How are you?
Do you think that tax bill that they passed in 2017 is hurting the economy today? And if Biden is such a worse president, did he plan an insurrection like Trump did?
Well, I'm not going to get into a thing about them two white men. I'm talking about, that's one of the things that the black community is in the middle of. No, I don't think the tax bill hurt us, and I think that we were doing pretty good before Biden got in.
And you
basically... Wait. I'm not. Wait, Chris. Wait a minute, brother. Love you more. I don't think that we were in the situation we're in. That's why I played Vance. In advance, because we got to really analyze what's going on. If we don't do it, Chris, for our community, we're going to be in trouble. Right now, that's why I've been trying to get the black farmer president on, in terms of the food, what's going on with our food, what's going on with across the board, with the energy, all the energy that he stopped. He created this problem. He didn't have to create. So I'm not going to fight with you, black brother, about them two white men. But I will fight on behalf of black folk. And the fact of the matter is that all the stuff he did with the gas and stuff, you know, them trucks going across this country, they have to use diesel fuel. When you look at it, it's almost about 30 food processing plants. Something happened to them. We had thousands of cattle that done died. Just in Illinois, somewhere I saw yesterday was some food place went up. But when people don't understand the oil stuff.
Price gouging.
Huh?
You don't think some of the oil manufacturers are price gouging because during COVID?
No, I don't believe that. No, because I don't just read what folks give me. I've been studying this stuff, and I see what he did with the gas because they have a green energy thing. But the fact of the matter is when you stop stuff, no, not gouging. These poor people ain't making no money at the gas station. So, see, when you stop the oil, what you got to understand, Chris, the oil don't come straight to you. When you stop the oil, it got to be – as the oil come in, it got to be refined. That's why you have those refinery plants in Illinois and places. Your gas and all the others. So, you know, no, I'm not going to – no. This is on Biden. That's why Vance Jones finally spoke up and I was happy. And
I don't think it can be on Biden. He's only been in office less than 2 years.
And look how much – what a mess he done made in 18 months.
He hasn't passed any policies to affect the economy directly. We lost more jobs.
Yeah, yes, you have, Chris. I want you to, and I'll bring a list back next week. I want you to listen and call me back, okay?
Yep.
Okay,
ma'am.
Yes, you have. We don't have to keep apologizing for this man when we hurt him. I mean, really don't. This is why we can't. Okay, I told y'all we need to put together NGOs and do stuff for ourselves. I told y'all that we need to be able to put together. If the ministers and different organizations get together and say, well, we're going to have day workers, folks come and get some of their workers, to get some of these brothers working. Are we going to have a list of jobs? Are we going to have a list of social service? Are we going to open up our churches in our different places? And we're going to do tutoring? Are we going to reach out and try to deal with our community? That's what happened even through slavery. When we was enslaved, what did our people do? They took God and we built. but some have happened. We want to take one side or the other side when the side is the right side and God's side. You know, that's why I played Vance for y'all. I thought y'all might need to hear him. I was glad to hear Vance. Anthony.
Hey, good morning, Alderman Tillman.
Good morning, Anthony.
Yeah, first time calling. I just wanted to let you know I've been following you for years but not really paying attention to you. I just want to acknowledge you and just give you thank you for what you have been doing. I used to get frustrated when I was younger when you were in the city council.
Mm-hmm.
But now I really realize that you was fighting a beast. The battle you was fighting, you couldn't do it by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And with the fraction and division in our community, you didn't have the help that you needed. And I just used to get frustrated, like, man, why we can't get this, or thinking that maybe y'all ain't doing enough. But, man, that Democratic Party, the alien, all that stuff was a monster that, you know, that you was fighting. And, like I say, with the division that exists in our community, you just didn't have the help. But I just wanted you to know that I finally realized how important the things you did and others did that I really didn't appreciate. And also I think that selfishness has hurt our community over the last 50 years as well. Dr. King, I mean, Dr. King could have still been living, Dorothy. You know they offered him a job somewhere to go sit down.
Dr. King died poor. He died poor because he was fighting on behalf of black folks.
But see, he said this wasn't about me. And so I think we're doing a lot of this to ourselves, Alderman. And, you know, because of the selfish individuals that we elect to represent us. And we have to figure out how to stop doing that, because we're doing a lot of it to ourselves. But I just want you to know I appreciate what you've been doing. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Anthony. Let me just say to Anthony, my fight was about the land. They have never spent so much money in a war like they did mine. Just remember, the person that replaced me, and I talked to her, she's my alderman, I respect her seat. I don't disrespect her as the alderman. And we'll work with her if I have to work with her on behalf of my community. But she worked with the University of Chicago on a salary that they moved her in and decided what they wanted. It was about the land, because I would not allow them to come west. You stay over there. And it was always a land question. That's what y'all got to understand. God's not going to make them on land. It's land and economics. And these other folks, the Chinese are pushing south, the other folks are pushing east. It's about the land. It's a land question, y'all. It's a land question. Let me see what Tony wants. Tony B. Yes.
Thank you, Mrs. Tillman. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing that I believe that black people should look at is who they put their alliance with. Just because you're a Democrat and you haven't earned their vote, but we just vote Democrat because we've been programmed to do this. And you were talking about certain situations as far as with this gas situation. When Biden got in office, he cut that pipeline off.
Mm-hmm.
And laid off almost 3,000 union workers.
Mm-hmm.
That was due to his deal that he made with Buffett as far as transportation.
But wait, before you go further, Tony, not only the pipeline, he also stopped issuing the permits for them to drill, for folks
to
invest.
To drill,
right, and then even the ones who got the permit, he made it so hard. That's why the courts the other day said the EPA had gone too far. He made it so hard, so these folks are not, and folks don't understand that you don't just get the gas out the ground and put it in a thing. This stuff got to be refined, and when the refinery, those are jobs. And then and they don't understand that this stuff is affecting your lights, your gas bill is coming to your
basic
home.
Basic survival. When you talk about gas and food, you're talking about basic things,
right,
as far as transportation. See, one thing that we do not do, and I'm guilty of this at some time, we do not listen to other people. Well, you know, other races are telling you what's actually going on. And they might be prejudiced, might be racism, but sometimes you have to listen to understand exactly what's going on. And I'm not going to go on and on with this, but when Trump was in office, my stocks, I gained $42,000 when he was in office.
Mm-hmm.
See, he wasn't all bad, and Biden is not all bad. You have good and bad in everybody.
But well,
you
know what,
you
Tony? They made folks hate this man so much when he was in office. Black
yes.
folks still saying he's in line with Russians when they come to find out it was something that Hillary did. And they don't want to deal with that. We see, when you give us something to hate, we can fight. But we need to think critical thinking. And when you all these these other folks are taking the position in economically, taking the position in your politics,
yep.
they're getting all the politics, and they're taking position in your money and your land. Why our eyes is on hate. That's why I played Vance Jones, because
right.
he's
yep.
saying, wait a minute, this man ain't delivered, and this man
right.
ain't doing nothing. And then
yep.
that's why I played him, so folks will think, I'm just talking. Look what he did to Clyburn. Clyburn
mm-hmm.
is the reason why he's in office. Clyburn thought he had the judge who had came from HBCU college. Her husband
right.
was a doctor. She
yep.
and he ignored Clyburn. Clyburn was hurt.
But Mrs. Tillman, that Southern vote is based on hypocritical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
The Southern people and my family is from the South.
I'm from the South.
But, yeah, you're from the South. So what they do is they go get these old ministers that have influence over the church, the community, and they pay them. They pay them. Which, if you're not, like the other caller just said, if you're not there for the people and you're there for the money, that's a problem right there.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go on a second.
Okay.
You got to wrap it up.
I appreciate it.
Wrap it up.
Okay. Keep doing what you're doing, Ms. Dillman.
Thank you.
Giving all the information.
Thank you. Uh-huh. We just got to get into what do we do? You know, meet with your pastor. Said, how can we pull this community together? If you got, you know, I go to Liberty. You go down the street, there's Pilgrim, all over the place. All these places all around us. And they shouting all over the place on Sunday. And the church is closed Monday through Saturday. That's when they got some kind of special going on. Makes no sense. That's not the way we. And I told somebody last week, that we don't need no leaders. Yes, we do. Everybody have leaders. And we come from, if you want to talk about Africa, don't Africa have leaders? And if black women, and the women is very powerful in Africa, and our women have given up some of that. We need leaders, but the problem, what happened in America was we relied very heavily on our spiritual leaders when we had been enslaved. We was over here, and because we came from a lot of different tribes, a lot of different places with different language, and they wouldn't give us no special stuff like they're doing these other folks. Our ministers did. If you look through the history, you will find all of the leadership was led through our spirituality, whether it was the hospitals, whether it was the schools, whether it was whatever we had setting up stuff for us. They all believed in God. These demons out here, we're not fighting flesh and blood. I'm telling you, we're not doing that. Well, Minister Hayden, I'm going to come to you. How you doing?
Hey, Happy New Year to you, Ms. Jordan.
I had to come when I saw your name up there.
For the sake of time, and I'll call back next week. I have to disagree with you
okay.
on the pipeline. The pipeline that Joe Biden set down was oil that we did not need. It was dry sand that was going to be pumped straight down to the Mexican border. So the
was
Chinese
it coming from Canada? Was it coming from Canada? We didn't have to come through the ocean from Canada.
It's what you call sludge oil,
mm-hmm.
oil that we don't use. That was
mm-hmm.
the deal that Donald Trump had worked out for the oil pipeline. And once they got through building the pipeline, Ms. Tillman, it was going to be mechanically run, so it would not have created any jobs. And as far as the leasing that you were talking about,
mm-hmm.
he did not put a restriction on those. Those are still available. What he did do, because Donald Trump got back in and rolled back all the EPA that President Obama had put in place. He's put the restrictions back in place and to cut down back on the carbon and all this different stuff. So they do have the ability to go and get.
Well, why do you think we just in such? What do you think is happening now? And I'm about to go because I got several calls on the line.
Well,
people waiting.
If you go back and listen to the CEOs when President Biden invited all the CEOs of the major oil companies,
it's difficult for me to do anything that man is doing. Listen to
and they asked them, to produce more oil, and they said they weren't going to do that. They
no,
were
he
not
also
cut
said,
back
but
the share.
Okay, I'm going to go back and listen. I watched that, and I'm going to go back and listen. I think you might be missing some of it.
They were, right, the bottom line, the oil companies were not going to cut back on the shares of their shareholders. Everybody's making money off of this because.
Are you still ain't told me why we're in the place we're in. Hey, now, gotta go. I wanted you to get your side out. I wanted you to get your side out. What you were saying, you can respectfully disagree if you want to. That's what I love.
Yes,
you know,
I'll call you back next week.
You know, anyway. All right. But the same. Listen to Vance Dryden. Listen to him. Don't defend Biden. He don't need defending. He really don't.
I'm not defending.
Look, I love you. I ain't gonna fight by these two white men because I love Minnesota. Talk to you later. Dr. King said, two white folks be. Dr. King and Bellevue used to tell us when two white folks are fighting, black folks need to get out their way and go straight down the middle and build a community. So I ain't gonna get mad at none of my brothers about these two white folks. Jacob.
Yeah, you jumped on me for hiding for that for the reverend, but
you about to waste your time. I'm gonna hang up on you in a minute.
Okay, no problem.
Go on.
Well, he was telling the truth about that pipeline, and all of it is all about economics anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And what's wrong with us is we don't recognize who we are. We are those people.
Okay.
Until we get that, the creator said, my people suffer for lack of knowledge, and since they reject knowledge,
you know why I came to you just now, Jacob? It's because you tell me the same thing over and over and over.
Let me tell you
and
something.
I love you. I love you, Jacob.
You,
I want you to sit down next week.
Let me tell you this, though.
What?
If our children knew who they was, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, being black ain't going to get you nowhere.
Okay, and I want you to sit down.
You need to get
Jacob, I want you to sit down next week.
Thank you.
And I want you to write down what I'm talking about and speak to the topic, okay? Love you more. Oh, God have mercy. I got a few more lines open and a few more calls I can take. And I love y'all dearly. I don't get upset with these folks because I love them much more than I do any of these folks that I'm doing. I want to, we need to keep our eyes on the prize. And the prize is, in the civil rights movement, we say keep your eyes on the prize. The prize is, how do we rebuild our community? What do we do? That's Sweetheart and the Rock, civil rights singers. What is that? What prize we looking for right now? One or the other? Our prize or our children? Our prize, our community, family, church, home, school, business. That's our prize. I want to congratulate. I just read two Saturdays paper. I saw Diane got the freedom from Biden 2 weeks ago. Diane, congratulations. I just got a chance to read last Saturday's paper, Saturday before last. I think somebody had called it in, and I saw it after, but when I read, congratulations, Diane. She got her freedom thing for a declaration of freedom from Biden for what she did with the voting rights bill. And I'm glad to know that they mentioned Bevel's name in the article. What is our prize? What are we keeping our eyes on right now? We did. We used to be coming from different parts of the spectrum of the black community, but we had a prize. Our most prized possession should be our children. And in order for our children, as I said, code of conduct, a community, church, we should be willing to fight for our children. I thought we needed to play that. How many minutes I got over there? No more calls, y'all. I'm sorry, those who are waiting. Call me back next week. Because I got to play this Charles Bevel song about our children. I got to play it. We're going to slide it in there before I go. Without season. This is what it's about, y'all. Because, you know, I'm older. I'm 75, soon to be 76. We all getting older, but who's our young children? These folks don't respect children. They don't care whether you have babies, birth person, birth this. I had to play this for y'all. And the one who sent them, gives them gifts to carry. Tell them. How many minutes on that? Can I play it all in? Hey, y'all, I'm sorry I can't take no more calls. Call me back next week. Write down what I'm talking about and chime into what we're talking about, y'all. But right now, this is our prize. Our children should not eat the grapes of wrath. This is Charles Bevel, y'all. He was in town last week. He was supposed to come by, but I didn't get a chance to see him. Yeah, come on, Bevel. Yeah. Charles Bevel, y'all.
Why do we make those distinctions when we don't have any clean?
Mm.
What is childhood dream or how they'll share?
This is our, keep our eyes on the prize of our children, our community. Yeah. They out now. They out harvesting the grapes of wrath while we sitting here talking this stuff. And most of the folks who's sending them, their children don't even come this way. Come on. Woo! That's what's happening. They're harvesting the grapes of wrath. We got to do something, y'all. We got more churches in the black community than any community in the world. Maybe Jesus got to come down and tear it up like he did with the money changer. Woo! We can't send them. Our children are eating the grapes of wrath right now, y'all. What do we do? They're ours. Yeah, they shouldn't have to do that. What have we, how have we failed them? School has failed them. Yeah. Why should they? Come on, Bevel.
So we all get in line for a young.
Well, we get one. What we do with them?
Some will grab 10 or 12, some will get none.
You don't have 10 or 12 babies no more now.
And children grabbed by rich ones will be pampered.
Yeah.
And the children left to poor ones will be hampered.
Come on, Charles.
Why do we act like a heathen when every known religion teaches us?
Each and every child is in our care. Every known religion. They should never have to eat the grapes of wrath. Come on, Charles. The grapes of wrath. Why do we make them?
We don't have any.
Come on, Charles.
What each child will dream or how they'll share.
That's right.
We just take and crush them.
Just crush them. That we don't care. Take care of your own, huh?
You're
crushing them in these schools.
So we send them out to harvest the grapes of wrath.
Woo! Till next week, Dorothy Wright Tillman saying, reparations now. Keep your eyes on the prize. Let's bring them home, y'all. I love all y'all. Y'all might get upset with me, but I love y'all. I'll see y'all next week.
Brutality in this slavery industry is this nation's foundation of economy. What bothers me is the stripping of language, culture, and religion of African descendants with no restriction. They cut
the talk of Chicago and the voice of the nation. 1690 WVON, Berwyn, Chicago.
Thank you.
The one cop who asked Derek Chauvin, should George Floyd at least be rolled onto his side so he could breathe, has been sentenced to 2.5 years for Floyd's murder. Thomas Lane was convicted in federal court of violating George Floyd's civil rights by denying him medical care. Derek Chauvin kept his knee on Floyd's neck for 9.5 minutes, which led to the black man's death, all caught on bystander cell phone video.
A traffic stop for a black man in Tennessee turned into head injuries and...